Title of the sermon this morning is God of the Mountain is God of the Valley. God is God on the mountaintops of your life, and God is God in the valleys of your life. God allows us to experience mountaintops, and we love them. I love mountaintops, where it's just a time of celebration, a victory in your life, a getting together the people of God and just having the time of your life in the Lord. Let your mind go to all of the mountaintop experiences, maybe a time of Bible study, a Bible school, just, wow, you want to stay there. It's just the best as you could ever experienced. For me, I look back and think of some of the times I had in prison ministry. It's something I feel like, yeah, I died in my life. I love it. I would love to be involved in it yet, but God has called me to other things. But early in my Christian experience, many men would go down south to South Carolina, Huttonsville, Virginia, and South Carolina to prison. And we'd all go into prison. And I want to tell you, it was a time of my life. It was glorious. I just loved it, and I wanted to stay there. You can think about just mountaintop experiences in your family when children are just experiencing victories in their life, and things are going well in your family, and you also have valleys in family experience as well. But God is teaching us things on the mountaintop experiences, as well as in the valleys. God is God of the mountains, and He's God of the valleys. And I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you're on a mountaintop and praise the Lord, enjoy it while you're there. Maybe you're in the valley. And I want to assure you, if you're in the valley, God is God of the valley, and He's there, and He teaches us things and strengthens us, and most of the growth in our life comes in the valleys that you go through. And so victories are followed. Many victories, mountaintop experiences are followed with strong temptations and valley experiences that most of us would rather stay out of the valleys if we would choose. But God wants us there, and we think of picture of the footprints in the sand, and we think of that beautiful picture there where there are two sets of footprints, and for a period of time there was one set of footprints, and the Lord's carrying you. and you probably all can relate to a time in your life where, yes, there was one set of footprints in the sand, and the Lord was just there. He really does care about our struggles in the valleys. Sickness, none of us would sign up for a time and a season of sickness, physical infirmities, whatever it might be. None of us would sign up for that, but we know that God allows these valley experiences in our life. They're varied for all of us. And one example from Scripture we see is at Jesus, at His baptism. One of the mountaintop experiences in Jesus' ministry and Jesus' life, as you read that text and read that account, He came up out of the water and He heard the voice from heaven, the affirmation of God. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And that there was truly a mountaintop experience. And there's times in our lives where we have the Lord just speaking affirmation into our lives. This is my Son, this is my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. And you feel that and you hear that, and those experiences are priceless. And God really wants you to feel that through the valleys and the mountaintops experiences in your lives. But Jesus' baptism was followed by one of the strongest temptations of the devil. It says the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So he had that mountaintop experience, and the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil in such a intense way that probably none of us have experienced such intense temptation as he went through there. So if we allow change and difficulty into our lives, into the valley experiences, we allow growth into our lives. If we resist change and difficulty, we resist growth in our lives. And none of us want to resist growth in our lives. If we would be honest, no, we want growth. And we want to become stronger in our Christian lives. But it's through the valleys. If we really are true to the Lord and we really are connected to the Lord, the growth and what is happening in your heart and in your life in those times is really when you are maturing and you are really becoming stronger in the Lord and experiencing growth. So I want to look at a text in the Bible where we see one of the greatest mountaintop experiences, one of the many, but I would have loved to be there. And then we're going to look at one of the valleys that followed it. And few of us would really sign up for the valley that we're going to look at. But Jesus was on the mountaintop with his disciples, and he was also in the valley. And the 2 points I have is worshiping God on the mountains and working for God in the valley. Turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, I'm going to start at verse 27. It says, "But I tell you a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." And some of the other gospels, it says, "till they see the kingdom of God coming in power." And then we have the mountaintop experience following that statement or that claim that Jesus made. Verse 28, it says, "And it came to pass about eight days after these sayings, he took Peter, John, and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him 2 men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the 2 men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias, not knowing what he said. But while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen." I'm going to stop there. This is the mountain that we're going to look at, and I'm going to do my best to open up this experience, this mountaintop experience as we have it in 3 of the Gospels. This account has a little more detail than Mark and Matthew. There's different details in each account, so we may look at some of them in other Gospels. But the title and the point is worshiping God on the mountain. It's very clear that after 8 days, it says that Jesus took Peter and John and James and went up to a mountain to pray. We don't know exactly for sure which mountain this was, but it was a great mountain. And this is the only account that it says they went to pray. And that's one of the reasons I chose this Luke's account. Mark and Matthew, I think, both just mentioned that they went up to a mountain and then the transfiguration happened. But here, I think the key point is that Jesus had times where he took them to a mountains. He spent time often in Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives. He often went there to get alone. And it says in some of the other accounts, one of the other accounts, that he took them apart from the crowds. And so you see those two points that are very important in our lives, that Jesus purposefully took them to the mountain to pray and spend times of prayer. And Peter and the disciples had a hard time sticking with Jesus in prayer. I wonder how we would all do with Jesus on the mountains in prayer if we would get tired. Or I see here just a persistence in prayer and maybe long prayers, just connecting with God, and they got sleepy and kind of fell asleep on the job, so to speak. And that's when this great experience happened. They woke up and wow, Moses and Elijah are there. How would you like one night you're in prayer and you wake up and there Moses and Elijah are there, and you get to talk and listen to Moses and Elijah? Well, that was the experience, but Jesus also was transfigured and they saw a picture of him in his glory. So Jesus led them to the high mountain. The inner circle was privileged to share this mountaintop experience. Not all of them could experience this. And it was just Peter, James, and John, the inner circle. And it is that way sometimes, these mountaintop experiences that we hear of people seeing angels or having this wow moment in their spiritual lives. And we think, sometimes I think, wow, I would love that experience. I would love to be privileged to experience that. And this was a privilege that Peter, James, and John had, to experience Jesus in his transfiguration. They got apart from the crowds. I think it is important for us, and I think we see that in Jesus' ministry. We're going to look at the valley experience, working for God in the valley, but the crowds are always there. And when they came down off the mountain, there were the crowds again. And I think we all need to get away from the crowds and spend some time alone. That is very important in our lives. We cannot always be available all the time. And Jesus himself took time to rest and to refresh himself and get away from the crowds. And many times he found these experiences in the mountains. So we have hunting season right now. I'm not sure if you can hunt and do this at the same time. You know, that's a time to get quiet and get away from all the noise and pray. I think we can experience a level of that. But I think what I see here in this text here, there was not too much alertness to the deer in the woods and all of that, but there was just a time of prayer, and God showed up, and there was a miracle that happened here. Jesus, it says, he was transfigured. In the Greek word is metamorpho. It means to be changed into his glory. And we see here from Luke's account, it says that as he prayed, his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistening. The two things that we see is his countenance, his face began to shine with glory, and his clothing were white. So I wore a white shirt. I thought I'd get as close to this as I can, but it's nothing compared to this white. In Mark's account, it says that his clothing became white, so white as snow. I think it was maybe Matthew that said white as snow or whiter than snow. And his clothing, his raiment, was whiter than any launderer can make it. So it was a glorious picture here we see that his clothing and his raiment was white and glistening. And we get a picture into our glorious state. The Bible says that that we as well will have white robes. We get a glimpse here into the future glory of Jesus and his true followers, because we will be clothed in white as well. The Bible tells us that he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. In Revelation 7:14, I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So we see a picture of white raiment and white robes. And my shirt, when I get new white shirts, I always stand back. I think my shirts are pretty white, but you get a brand new white shirt and you look at your old white shirt and you say, wow, that one is not white. But this white, it is described as just glorious and so white. And whiter than snow. If you have your sins forgiven and washed in the blood of the Lamb, it is symbolic of the white robes that you have already put on. Your heart is made white and clean. I really should have went and bought a brand new white shirt to get as close to this as we can, but it wouldn't even come close to what they saw right here. His raiment and his face shone as the sun. Truly a mountaintop experience. Peter, James, and John, the disciples, woke up to this. And they saw Jesus in his glory, the same glory that he had with the Father before the world began. I believe that he saw a picture of what is to come for every true believer and what Jesus will look like in his glory. And while this happened, Moses and Elijah appear. I don't know about you, but I would love to have a little chat with Moses and Elijah together. They represent, and you say, why Moses and Elijah? Some feel that Moses represents the law and Elijah represents the prophets. And truly two great men of God, Moses and Elijah. And they saw his glory and two men stood with him. And they began to talk about Jesus' death and his death that was to follow. So I think here we see Jesus, God, I believe, was preparing Jesus for what was to come and what he was facing in the future, the cross. And also, he was preparing his disciples as well. Peter said, let's stay here and build three tabernacles. So it says he didn't know what to say. There was a level of fear that was came over Peter and the disciples. And Peter most times was the one to speak first. And you see Peter here saying things maybe a little out of tune, or he didn't know what to say, but he said something. And he said, let's stay here. This is good. Let's build three tabernacles, it says in verse 33. Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. This is a place I'd like to be. This is a place we can have good times here. Let's stay here. Let's build tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus, and we'll just stay right here." And we know that God is the God of the mountains and the God of the valleys. He does not want us to live in the mountains all the time. This was a mountaintop experience. This was for a season, for a purpose. But the real battle ground and the work for the Lord was down in the valley, as we'll see in the rest of the text. Mountaintop experiences. I can think of many mountaintop experiences that are wonderful and glorious, but we cannot live there and experience life on the mountaintops. They're for a season. They're for a purpose. We enjoy them. God wants us to have them. And I want to say, if you're on a mountaintop, praise the Lord and worship God to the best of your ability on the mountain. But I'm assured that you will be asked to come down off that mountain and experience life in the valleys as well. They heard the voice, and it says that there was a cloud. In verse 34 and verse 35, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." So I believe this was two-way. This was affirmation to Jesus as the Son of God. "This is my beloved Son," the words of affirmation we all long for. We all need these words in our life. We all are crying out for this. "This is my beloved Son," and Jesus heard that. But it's also directed to the disciples because it says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And that was directed to the disciples. Hear and walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear him. And that is for us today. Hear and obey the words of the Lord. Second point is working for God in the valley. It says that in verse 36, "When the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him." So now we're coming down off the valley, off the mountain, into the valley, and we see here a man accompanied cried out, saying, "Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, and he foameth again, bruising him, hardly departing from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was come, coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at these things Jesus did, he said unto these disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." Now, Luke's account here is not as detailed as far as the valley experience, but we come down off the mountain, and we have the crowds. Mark, it says that the crowds were there. And I want to turn to Mark chapter 9 for a few more details on this account. In verse 14, it says, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, running to him, saluting him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whosoever he taketh, he teareth him, and foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I speak to thy disciples, and they, that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And when they brought him, and when he saw them, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell to the ground, and wallowing, foaming. And he asked the Father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it casteth him into the fire, and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter him no more. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch as many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he came into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now we're looking at a valley experience here that probably none of us would sign up for. You read this account, and it's probably one of the most difficult ministry experiences someone could ever be asked to serve in. And I want to just look at this account and just call us to all different types of work. This does not mean that this is the only type of work that we come into, but there are crowds that came to Jesus as they came down off the mountain. The crowds were there again. Church life can be that way, and ministry can be that way, where crowds are always there, and people with needs are always there, and it does not have to be this intense of a battle that we're called to, but this is working for God in the valley. Whatever it is and whatever your calling is, this is really where we are tested, and this is really where we see the needs of many around us all the time. We see a father who is desperate, and he's coming to Jesus in a point of desperation, and rightly so. If any of us had a son or had a child with a need like this, we would be coming to Jesus desperate. No matter what for needs we have, we come to Jesus with this desperation and a desperate cry for help. But also, we see that he came to his disciples, and they were not able. Jesus said here, and we see a picture of Jesus homesick for heaven. He says, how long will I be with you? O faithless generation. He answers with a word of rebuke, and he says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And so he's like, okay, I will take care of this need, but I won't be here all the time. This work will rest upon the church. And he says to the father of the son, when the father came to Jesus, Jesus said to him, all things are possible. If you can believe, all things are possible. So I think there is a level of spirituality that God calls us to, And I believe maybe the picture we see on the mountaintop where Peter and the disciples were falling asleep while Jesus was there to pray. And it's on the mountaintop experiences, and when we are alone with God, that's where we are spiritually energized, and prayer and fasting need to be part of our life. I want to emphasize that in this text here, what we see here. Jesus gave a word of rebuke, and it was a challenge to me. If you've ever been alone with something like this, I've been alone once. And where you have a demonic manifestation and clear demonic manifestation. And it is something that brings you to the place where you realize you have nothing in of yourself to fight this battle. You have nothing. Flesh and blood can offer nothing to win these spiritual battles. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against evils of all sorts. And if you're ever in a case like this or a difficult situation in ministry, you need to remind yourself and be aware, and you will be aware, that you have nothing in of yourself, and it all depends upon your spirituality and your connection with God and your faith. And this is a challenge for all of us. It doesn't have to be an intense situation like this, but we get into ministry of all kinds, and prison ministry and whatever. People are wrestling with strongholds, and people are wrestling with hard things, and it comes down to having faith. All things are possible. That's what Jesus said to him that believes. And the Father, when he heard those words, the Father cried out, of the child cried out, he said, with tears. In verse 24, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And I read that, and I believe we all have times like that. We pray out, what was he really saying here? I believe this is true, but help mine unbelief. I'm struggling to get a hold of this. I have a little struggle to believe in this. This is huge. When you read the account of what was happening to this child, he lived with this all through his life from a child. And so he was struggling and needing help, and recognized that he had some times of unbelief in his life. Many times, many will not get close to people like this. His disciples couldn't help him. And I want to just encourage everyone, whatever you're called to, whatever level of difficulty in your ministry, in helping people to overcome, all things are possible, it says, to him that believes. All things are possible. And so let's rise forward in faith and get down into the valley. Enjoy the mountaintops, but also work for God in the valleys, and get down into the valleys and get down into the ditches, and recognize and realize that God reaches way down. He reaches down to the ditches. He reaches down to the gutters. He reaches down to the worst of the worst situations in this life. God will reach down all the way. And if we are willing to get down into the ditches and down into the valleys and believe and engage in ministry, believing that God is able to do all things. It says here in the account, the Spirit took control of the boy. It was described as a deaf and dumb spirit. And it came upon him as a young child. A lot we don't know and understand about this, and we don't have to understand it all. If you get out and work in this kind of work, you will not understand it all. You don't have to understand it all. We just know that the devil is alive and well. We know that there's a lot of needs, and we know that the crowds are pressing on all sides. And we just do what we can. And sometimes we maybe get homesick as well and say, Lord, how long will I be with you? That's what Jesus said. And we say, how long? How long can I keep on ministering in this way? Maybe you're here saying, Lord, I need help with my unbelief. I need to believe, and I need a new level of faith. I need to come to the Lord and just walk alongside of someone with faith, a strong faith that believes that all things are possible, and walk alongside someone for a long time and maybe engage in prayer and fasting. Jesus said that some spiritual battles are only won by prayer and fasting. And so let that be a challenge to all of us as well, prayer and fasting. When victories are not coming, maybe we need more prayer and fasting, and regular prayer and fasting. The challenge to my own life, I believe we're all honest, that is an area that we need to be diligent in. So as we looked at a picture of a mountaintop, I don't know what came to your mind or what mountaintop experiences you thought of in your own life. Places you'd like to stay, places you'd like to live, and celebrations and spiritual victories. Wednesday night we had a baptismal service, and just those experiences that are somewhat mountaintop experiences in your family. Maybe you're going through a mountaintop experience in your family. Maybe you're going through a valley. I don't know where you're at, but if you're on a mountaintop, worship God on the mountain and enjoy it. God does want you to experience mountaintops. They're wonderful. God comes down. God's voice comes into your life. And you hear this voice. This is my son. And you feel the affirmation of God. And you just long to live there and experience that. And just worship God on the mountain. God may be preparing you for work in the valley if you're on a mountaintop. He may be wanting to take you to a new level. God does want to take us to new levels, and He does this through mountaintops and valleys. If you're in the valley, working for God in the valley, or maybe a valley experience where you're in a hardship that just looks impossible or looks like there's no end in sight, or you're facing a mountaintop, you're in a valley, you're facing something that's very difficult, just remember that the growth of God comes in the valleys. When you're faithful to God in the valleys, something beautiful is happening in your heart. It's different than the mountaintops. You're not just jumping and shouting glory, hallelujah in the valley. Sometimes you're in the valley and you're experiencing grief. You're in pain. You're not understanding circumstances. You don't know how you'll ever face the future, whatever it is. Growth is happening in your life in the valleys. If you're in a valley, God is God of the valleys. And He will bring growth into your life. Work in the kingdom can be experienced on the mountaintops and in the valleys. So God bless you as you're faithful to Him, whether in the mountains or in the valleys. God is God. And He wants to have His way in your life. And I just pray that wherever you're at, you'll just feel God's presence and God's power and God's work in your life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the text we looked at, the glorious transfiguration where Peter said in his book, we have seen His majesty. We have seen Jesus in His glory. We have seen Moses and Elijah. We've seen a picture of what is to come. We've seen the white raiment, the beautiful white robes of Jesus, and what we will experience one day if we're faithful to the Lord. We have seen it with our eyes. We see this account in Scripture and know it's true. We also see working in the valley that's very difficult, and the crowds that are around us all the time, and some of the things we're slow to get involved in. And I just pray that you would give us strength, give us a new level of understanding that you are God of the mountains and God of the valleys. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.